Gospel according to St. John chapter 12. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave him a dinner. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, help us come to terms with these words you have told us, that we won't always have you. Help us to spend time with the poor. And please, Lord, let your blessings flow. Amen. Quite a statement, Jesus says. We won't always have him. This really is at odds with a lot of what we say as Christians. Jesus is with you. Hold on to Jesus. But here he says, no, you're not always going to have me. In fact, later on in John, same gospel, he says very directly to the disciples, "I'm leaving you." So let's think about this. What does it mean to not have Jesus? Well, he was telling his disciples that soon he would die. He would be crucified. And if you think about Judas, who was uncomfortable with the situation, I don't think we should be quick to judge Judas. I think we can see a bit of ourselves. After all, to pour this perfume on Jesus' feet is to prepare him for burial. So when Mary did this, she had it in her head that Jesus would be dead soon. And that the great movement that they were making would stop. Judas, who's arguing against this, doesn't want to see Jesus die. Doesn't want to see what they're doing stop. Earlier in the story, when Lazarus is dead and they go to save him, the disciples say, "Well, we might as well go die with Jesus." So they know that something is coming. Well, that's the Bible. What about our world today? Socially speaking, does it seem like there's less Jesus than there used to be? In some ways, we could say, yeah. As the world becomes more secularized, faith gets pushed more and more to the margins. It certainly seems like there's less Jesus than there used to be. And then finally, there's the personal. For each and every one of us, have we had a time in our life where we felt like Jesus wasn't there? Our family right now is in the midst of grief. We lost my father-in-law, Jim, just last weekend. And when you go through a tragic loss, as I know many of you have, the question of the heart is, where's Jesus? So we turn back to our gospel, and like I said to the children, Jesus says, you're not always going to have me, but you will always have the poor. And so we ask ourselves, what does he mean by the poor? What does that mean? It can have multiple meanings. The poor can be those without money. How many billions of people on the face of the earth live on less than a dollar a day? A lot. Billions of people in our world live on less than a dollar a day. That's poverty. That's being poor. Like Pastor Woody shared last week, he had that historical document that he shared with the children's sermon. In times of antiquity, when people became poor and desperate, they would sell themselves into slavery. This still happens today. Well, that's one kind of poverty, but it's not the only kind, is it? There's other kinds. There's spiritual poverty. We can have lots of money and resources, but we can be poor inside. Like Matthew says, quotes Jesus, the poor in spirit. We know, generally speaking, as we look at the face of the earth, that the countries with the most money, with the most developed economies, have the lowest participation in religion. So oftentimes, the trade-off of having a lot of money is a spiritual poverty called affluenza. So either way, no matter where we turn, we are sure to find somebody who's poor. The key here is however we treat the poor is a reflection of our faith in Jesus. Mary anoints Jesus' feet, spending a year's worth of wages. A year's worth of wages. What would that be in today's dollars? $60,000? $70,000? $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 in Southern California, a livable wage? That's how much she spends on this perfume. She adores Jesus. He is poor. He doesn't have any money. She is spending money on the poor, anointing Jesus' feet. And not only is he physically poor, he doesn't have a lot of money, but his spirit, no doubt, is struggling, knowing that his time of crucifixion and resurrection is drawing near. So she loves Jesus. We also read about Paul in his letter to the Philippians. He says, I will trade away all of my privilege, all of my power that comes from being a member of the chosen tribe, of being Jewish, being part of Israel, being of the tribe of Benjamin, being a Pharisee. I will give all that privilege away so that I can know the poverty of Christ. And he spent his whole ministry sharing the love of God with people who thought that they didn't deserve it. We are called to love and care for the poor. However we treat the poor is a reflection of how we treat Jesus. There's a key verse in here that I'd like to point your attention to. Philippians chapter 3, you can look at it in your bulletin, verse 9, 8 and 9, Paul writes, more than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in him. The righteousness from God based on faith. And here's what I want to say about that. Sometimes people get down on themselves because they feel that they don't have a strong enough faith in Jesus. And what I want to tell you is that if you've ever felt that way, it's okay. Because what you can do is you can have the faithfulness to Jesus. So even if you have ever felt like Jesus hasn't been there or your faith isn't strong enough, what you can do is you can be faithful to Jesus. And you can live as he wanted you to live. We can all do this. By loving the poor in spirit, the poor in money, any kind of poor, any kind of person is struggling with a kind of poverty. And when we love them, we will have the righteousness of Jesus and we have nothing to worry about. That's what Paul's saying. I'll gladly trade away my own righteousness if Jesus can give me his. And that's exactly what Jesus will do for us. So, in conclusion, like I told the children, when we do this, when we spend time with the poor, things will get better. We will be blessed, each and every one of us. Like it says in the Psalms, our psalm today, Psalm 126, God will restore our fortunes. There will be, in verse 4, water courses in the Negev. You know, the Negev is the most dry desert south of Israel, south of Palestine. On your way to Egypt, it's incredibly dry, even still to this day. But God has promised to send rain to make the water and the streams flow in the desert. Those who have gone out sowing seed, weeping, will come in laughing with joy from the harvest. These things surely will happen. And think of Jesus himself. Think of Jesus himself. For all of the loving and the sharing and the being with the poor that he did, he was blessed. Think about this gift that Mary gives to him. How extravagant. $60,000 worth of perfume poured over his feet, and a beautiful woman taking her hair and wiping his feet. Physical love, intimacy, companionship. We will be blessed. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the hymn of the day.